excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it.
Hey, now, if we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving.
Welcome to this Washington State edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you at home, another away game that I no longer go to. Although I'll tell you, for this one, I feel thankful just to be home. I decided this morning to go fishing. I had to drop off my Oregon tickets to someone who was buying them in Concord, so I figured I'd go fishing ahead of time and then give him the tickets. Well, fishing didn't go so well. Not only did I not catch anything, but my engine died. It would idle, but it wouldn't go into forward gear. It would go into reverse for just a little ways, but I couldn't get the boat to consistently go backwards. So I was stuck out there on the Sacramento River by Decker Island, for those who know the Delta. And I had a paddle, you know, but I was just by myself, and I was 5 miles or 5 to 10 miles from the ramp where the boat was, and 2 or 3 miles at a minimum from the nearest ramp, and without any hope of getting back by myself. So I called on my marine radio and saw if anyone was willing to give me a lift, and nobody answered, not a single soul. I had probably 50 other fishing boats in, you know, distant view in my horizon. And apparently fishermen don't carry marine radios. Maybe that's just a sailor thing, but we always carry VHF radios. And the Coast Guard answered, and they were kind and tracked my progress, got all my information and all that, but since it wasn't an emergency, they weren't going to help. They ensured that it wasn't an emergency and gave me the number of Vessel Assist, which is a company that'll come get you. It would have cost me about $500 to tow my little boat back to the ramp, which I wasn't going to do. And so the Coast Guard was very nice, but wasn't actually able to help me. I was eventually able to flag down a passing fishing boat visually, not over the radio, and he was kind enough to take me to the nearest ramp. And then you're stuck at the possibility of, okay, at least you're back at land, you got the boat tied up, but how do you get you back to your car while your boat remains safe at the dock, and then your car back to that ramp? So I spent some more time looking at the boat, trying to figure out what was wrong. Turns out a line had gotten underneath the boat, a rope, for those less nautically inclined, and gotten caught in the prop. And that's why it would idle just fine, but wouldn't actually run. Apparently, however, it was caught was allowing it to go in reverse, but not forward. So long story short, I was able to... too late. I was able to clear out the line from the prop, and then the boat worked flawlessly and was able then to get back to where I launched from, Vieira's Resort in Isleton. But, of course, this took far longer than I expected. I was now over two hours late to dropping off the tickets, so I had to end up bailing on that because he had other commitments as well, and just doing my best to make it home on time. And I got home literally at 12:59. My TiVo was already recording. The telecast started not 20 seconds after I turned on the TV. So I'm very thankful to be at home for this game with my boat in the parked on the street, practically skid marks from where I stopped as I pulled in. In any case, I can tell anecdotes like that because the Bears won today, and we don't have to have wailing and gnashing of teeth. We won. Was it impressive? No. No, it was not. But for where this team is, impressive doesn't matter right now. Wins matter. This team needs to be able to get home, get some confidence rolling, continue Manchin's development, and win games, and win these key games against teams like Washington State. There's still plenty of things, and we'll go over, I'm not going to dismiss that. Plenty of problems for the team, but the key factor is they won. They dug deep, even though they were down 7-0. Really, for the most part, they actually contained Washington State pretty well. I mean, let's be honest. Washington State had that one touchdown drive, which was mostly on the backs of the fact that they ran some unorthodox plays for them. They ran some option plays. They ran the quarterback more than they usually do. And you could tell the Cal defense was not expecting it. And, you know, that caused a touchdown drive. But the defense corrected. The few times they tried running after that were not successful. And then they got two field goals, one of which was on the back of a long punt return by Washington State. And they didn't really make any significant offensive progress. They just were already in field goal range. So all in all, defense did its job. And the offense, you could see them gaining rhythm as the game went on. That is, they wore down Washington State and the game plan fell into place. I think the team got better. They got conservative towards the end, but, I mean, they had the touchdown drive in the third quarter, the touchdown drive in the fourth quarter, and then they were running out the clock. And, sure, 20-14 isn't exactly a beautiful win, and missing extra points, and a missed field goal, and the long punt returns. These things do not suggest this team is going to beat Oregon next week or you know, some miraculous thing like that. This is a team that is struggling to find its identity and win games. But they showed enough heart today to win. And now they're home. The Bears have played very well at home, admittedly against relatively weak opponents. But I think if we just, in our mind, if we can get the team to look at next week as a unique opportunity, one that if you don't deliver on, it's no big deal. And it's not because we should be in that situation every year. It's not because we're Washington State. It's because new quarterback, tough year, number of things going on. This just is not a game we should expect to win. But it's an opportunity to go out there and play really hard, and you know, there's just that possibility. It could be like that 2003 USC game where there was no hope for the Bears, but they came away with a miraculous win. And if they don't, you just have to look at it as an opportunity to go out there and play hard. And it's an opportunity for Manchin to continue to learn the offense. And it doesn't matter if he throws three picks. Unless we're up, you know, 24-3, and then he throws three picks. Then it's a problem. But if they can just go out there and play hard and show what they're capable of and lay it on the line and not worry about winning, one, they'll get that experience, they'll build that confidence, all the right things will happen for those last two games, which are more winnable, and they might just get lucky and win it. I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, let's not fool ourselves. Oregon is looking really good. That offense, even if the score, if we were up, say, 20-14 at halftime, I'd say there's no way the Bears are going to win. And the reason is because that pace of the Oregon offense, the conditioning of that team, the way their scheme works, they win the game in the second half on both sides of the ball. They are very physical and very fast, an extremely impressive team. So, again, I really don't see a good chance there, but the Bears just need to keep working on making forward progress. It's not about winning next week. It's about going out and playing hard. And that will set up the last 2 weeks of the season, which the big game's going to be tough, no doubt about it. But that Washington game, that's the key to bowl eligibility. And I think the Bears will have a good shot at that if the next 2 weeks, even if they lose the big game, which I still probably have more optimism than most, but taking a more conservative view. Even if they lose that game, what we need is that team is speaking with one voice, playing as one team, and delivering like they have against the other weak teams in the conference at home, and really laying the wood to them. So, but anyway, that's really kind of getting ahead of myself. I just wanted to put this win in perspective. It doesn't matter how pretty it was before I laid into how it wasn't that pretty. To just say, I'm not concerned with the fact that it wasn't pretty. What I'm concerned with is they won. What I was concerned with is this is a team that showed the heart to come back from that 7-0 deficit, that is showing me the pieces that, even though it was ugly, that with more work they can get better. And particularly with there's no way to lose game next week, it shouldn't be a big problem. So, this game, Washington State. Manchin seems to have the overthrowing high problem that a lot of quarterbacks have. I think the short, compact motion that Tedford likes kind of encourages that. It's harder to keep control of the ball. But I didn't feel like his reads were horrible. And what I did like was he just threw the ball. He didn't look to be really hesitant. One of my fears, and one of the things I don't like about what seems to be the trend with these quarterbacks we've had recently, is they're so hesitant, they're so reserved, they're so worried about making a mistake that they miss a lot of opportunities. And Manchin didn't play that way. He had his problems, but he looked confident. He threw the ball with authority, and his accuracy was a little troubling, but I felt like the right pieces were there. And he made two significant mistakes, both for interceptions. He made a number of other errant throws. And admittedly, he didn't get a lot of throws. They definitely did rely on Vereen and Cifelli. But at the same time, he did get a fair number. This was not like the Oregon State game where I felt like they were, you know, really boxing him in, as Tedford admitted, they only used part of the playbook with him. So I felt like that was the full game, and yes, he's young in the standpoint of experience, and he's coming along. And again, a couple more weeks, and he'll be better. The accuracy is a little bit more worrisome, but again, some of that could be nerves, some of that could be, you got so much going on that first game that will get better with time. But so it wasn't a great performance by him. He definitely needs to improve, but I see the signs of possible improvement out of him. And again, like I talked about in last week's podcast, every snap that he throws the ball is a good, meaningful experience. It's an opportunity for him to learn the offense, and they don't even have to be successful. In fact, even the failures can be very instructive to help him mature. And having it happen in the game means that when he's in practice, it means that much more when the coaches are talking about it, and or when he's watching film and seeing the defensive schemes. He can relate that to, you know, when he talks about a cover two or whatever. It's like, oh yeah, I remember how they kind of trapped me on that play, and I thought I had his lane in there, but really it was pretty easy for the corner to slide back and intercept that. He'll have those images in his mind that he wouldn't have had otherwise. So I really think it is with him at this point about experience. He is gaining it. I felt like he's showing good general command and good confidence. He needs a lot more experience, and his accuracy is probably the most troubling thing. But I am hopeful that perhaps that is because of the first game nerves, as opposed to truly an accuracy problem on his part. Of course, there's much else going on around him. The number one thing, and it's boggling to me, because we used to have receivers who didn't have this problem, but this dropping the ball thing, if I were Tedford, I would tell my wide receiver coach, don't run a single route again. Don't do another man-on-man drill. Don't do anything except working on catching the dang ball. Because they aren't. The drops are just maddening. And it's particularly out of our tight ends really frustrating to me. And Miller dropped one that really got under my skin. Because we don't have blocking tight ends. Our tight ends, particularly Miller, gets abused as a blocking tight end. And, okay, college tight ends, there's an understanding it's very hard to find ones who are both good blocking tight ends and good catching tight ends. You know, the ones who are NFL bound, but the ones who aren't can still be good tight ends, and you just have to, you know, kind of, sometimes you have one of each, and you do ones in different plays, whatever. But when you have Miller, who's supposedly our catching tight end, and he's dropping balls left and right, and it's not even in tight coverage, it's just maddening. And particularly when you have a young quarterback that it's all about building up his experience, when he lays the ball in there to Marvin Jones on a beautiful rainbow and the guy doesn't catch the ball, or when he throws a nice pattern to Miller and he as well drops the ball, or when it just was over and over of these dropped balls. And yes, there were less later in the game, but the beginning of the game is particularly important because that's when you're establishing rhythm. And it also seems to be when there are the most dropped balls is towards the beginning of the game. And we won't beat teams in future weeks unless this gets cleaned up. We need this team where Manchin is the weakest link, because he is going to be developing, and we cannot have the rest of the team being the problem. Speaking of other problems, how this defensive line and linebackers were able to put so much pressure on the Washington State quarterback, Tool, and not actually get him on so many plays was maddening. I mean, that's not going to work with Oregon. Okay, we've already talked about how that's an unlikely win. But if you have any hopes of winning, you're not going to do that. You need to wrap him up every stinking time you have a shot at him. It was just unbelievable to me how many times they were right there and didn't make the grab or the tackle. And that's got to change. That's not going to work. Because they were overwhelming the Washington State offensive line, and yet an amazing number of times Tool escaped and got positive yards. The offensive line as well continues to have its struggles. Today was kind of a mediocre performance, but I think it's frustrating to see a mediocre performance when you know the WSU defensive line and their linebackers are not that good. And that it is an area of concern. Their run blocking was a little bit better, but not exactly exceptional. So there's pluses and minuses there. The changes they've made don't seem to be helping significantly. And it's going to be a real problem with a team like Stanford to win if the offensive line can't move people around better than they did today and have the last few weeks. Even at home, you know, our offensive performances, like against ASU, not all that impressive from an offensive line standpoint. I mean, we won, and we won thoroughly, but you didn't look at that offensive line performance and say they were just blowing Arizona State around. So, and that's what it's going to take to beat a team like Stanford. And considering these are the same guys, right? These are the same guys, of course, minus Alex Mack, who beat Stanford last year, who showed so much potential in that game. We really need them to start playing as a unit and start blowing people off the ball more. They did show some strength. I was impressed with them early in the game when Vereen was running the ball and he got caught in the backfield. Sometimes it was a 2 to 3 yard gain because they were moving people. But as the game wore on, it was more inconsistent. So another unit that I think needs to improve. Vereen and Sofelli, on the other hand, exceptional job today. Very elusive, very good balance. There were a number of times they got tripped and kept on their feet. I was very impressed with them today. I think they did an exceptional job. I don't know what to think of the secondary's performance, because these announcers kept talking about the explosive plays of WSU and all this sort of thing, and I'm sorry, I didn't see it. Maybe there's something I'm missing, but I didn't see it. But if you take them at face value that there's some truth there, then you have to look at the secondary and say they did a great job. They very much did not let WSU pass the ball. Where actually the Bears got hurt was in the running game of WSU. So, but it just didn't feel like the secondary was playing all that well. I don't know. So a bit of a perplexing situation there, and don't quite know what to make of it. But speaking about the defensive lineup some more, I do like how powerful they look. I do like how they were coming off the ball, and I did like their intensity. In fact, if there was one unit today, I said, there's the unit that's not going to stand for the team falling apart in the second half of the season. That was the one. They had the intensity that I really want the whole team to have, to say, not on my watch. Okay, we've messed around a little bit, we've had some disappointing losses, some frustrating injuries, but this team's not going down the toilet, and we're going to play like we mean it. And particularly on the big plays, when it was 3rd and 10 at the Cal 25, they'd make sure it was a sack, and so they had to kick the 50-yard field goal. Which, by the way, I got to give a lot of credit to the WSU kicker. Sure, he missed one 50-yarder, but he made another, and he made a 48-yarder. Pretty impressive kicking compared to our transition point, Tavecchio, who missed his kick. Just had one, and he missed it. Maybe he doesn't get enough chances. Maybe that's the problem. I mean, if you look at, there's one good thing about Cal this year, is they've been pretty good in the red zone. They're converting their touchdowns. They're getting, you know, we had a first and goal on the 1 yard line. Vereen got the touchdown on first down, and those of us who've been around for more than a year or two, which is almost all of us, we remember that there have been some struggles in the mid to late Tedford era of on the goal line not scoring touchdowns in a couple of key games where we couldn't get into the end zone. And you're not seeing that this year. They're converting in the red zone, which I take as very positive news because it has been a little bit of a problem. So maybe Tavecchio just needs some more kicks to miss. I don't know, but he's not doing very well, and it's a little bit perplexing to me because he's been a fairly good kicker. And, you know, there's a couple times, the kick he missed today, there was a couple times during the game where he said, boy, I really wish I had those 3 points. And now the Bears kept getting their points later, that fourth quarter touchdown, although in theory didn't matter at the end, I think was very important to the final score. It gave us that margin of victory that made it so Washington State wasn't thinking they just needed to chip away. They had to go for the big play, and that changes everything. So, and of course, we've basically already lost one game because Tavecchio's inconsistency. And, you know, there's been one or two games in previous years where that's been the case. We nearly lost the Arizona State game last year. He got a second chance at his game-winning field goal, but first time out, he didn't make it. So I really hope he finds some consistency, because a game like the big game, last year he made all his kicks in the big game. Imagine the difference if the Bears are only up by 3 instead of by 6 at the end of last year's big game. They're not thinking touchdown. They're thinking grind the clock out and kick the field goal. Or you know, it's just a different situation. They don't feel as forced into getting that touchdown. And then overtime. Geez, if we ever have an overtime game, I mean, that really does come down to your kicks. You know, sure, sometimes you get the touchdowns, but teams lose overtime games with inconsistent kickers, because it's over then. You don't have another quarter. You don't have another opportunity. You needed to make it. And whether you went first or they went first, doesn't matter, because they're going to get theirs on the second one. Anyway, I'll tell you one thing that the commentator said that I actually thought was important. The vast majority of what they said was just horrible. I mean, seriously, I think I could get in the announcer's box and do a better job than them. And I say that with the knowledge of how much harder these things are to do than people think. I've done a little bit of reporting. I've done a few podcasts. I know how hard those are to do, you know, editing the stuff out. I have some sense of how hard things can be that seem pretty easy. But they just spout out information that blatantly not true. And some of that is because they don't follow these teams, and so they cram ahead of time, right? The day and two before the game, they're thrown a bunch of information that's very – they get cliff notes, right? And just like how when somebody reads the cliff notes on a book, they can say stuff that sounds kind of smart, but when you get down into the details, you go, no, they don't really get it. They're missing something. And then every once in a while, you know, the cliff notes strongly misrepresent the truth, and they look even stupider. So, okay, you know, the difference is I would only be doing it for a Cal game, so it's a different story. But mostly they just look at them and go, they don't know what they're talking about. Anyway, the one thing they did say that really struck me is they were talking about the difference of intensity on the WSU sideline and the Cal sideline. They said the WSU sideline, they were really pumped up. They wanted this win. This was important to them. You know, that was that kind of an emotion. They said pretty calm over on the Cal sideline. Well, that, okay, we won today, and maybe it was the right thing to keep them calm going into a game where we had the talent advantage and so many other things, and to just grind out the win. Starting next week, that needs to change. And not because we need to win against Oregon. As I said, we're not going to win that game. But because we need to show intensity for the big game. And I really want us to win that one. We might be able to come in without a ton of emotion and beat Washington. But I want this big game. And it's not going to happen unless this team is fired up. So I sure hope that... And maybe they already are at home. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's one of the reasons on the road they don't perform well. Maybe Tedford's got the whole wrong idea. Maybe he keeps thinking the solution to the problem is to keep them very controlled, because that's how he works. He's the type of guy, and I know because I think I'm somewhat of a similar type of guy, that when I play golf, right, the way I do better is I get control of myself. I calm myself down, and I'll perform well. If I can let myself get emotional, I'm not going to do well. And he's that type of guy. He's that, nope, the key is being precise, disciplined, robotic. That's how you win. You have the perfect game plan, the perfect plays, and you execute them perfectly. Well, these are college kids, and not all of them are that type of personality anyway. And so... he may be looking at this road the whole wrong way. I don't, and I'm speculating, let's be clear, I don't know anything here. But he may be looking at the wrong way of, well, I gotta keep him calm. They're getting too worked up, they're getting too whatever. No, maybe it's exactly the opposite. Maybe he needs to go into the road and get them pumped up, because they're not gonna get it from the crowd. And at home, you know, we're doing well, so he's not so concerned about it, so he's not overmanaging that, and the crowd gets him into it anyway. Just a thought. I'm not sure. But we need this team to start getting pumped up, because it's not going to do it against Stanford. And as I said, there is something crucial about winning the big game. We used to talk about it when we were, you know, 3-8, is how important the big game was, because we were 3-8. That's all we had to play for. And I think there's been somewhat of a shift in Cal fans' mindsets that the big game doesn't matter so much anymore. Rose Bowls, and, you know, we're setting our sights higher. And I think that might be a little bit of a naive approach, because there is more at stake there. Recruiting at a minimum, right? If you can't get the best players in the Bay Area, it really hurts your program. They're going to Stanford. Now, Stanford has a little bit of a different draw. They don't pull as much from the Bay Area, so it's really important that the Bears own that. I mean, Stanford, I think, actually can afford more not to own the Bay Area market. But Cal needs to own the Bay Area market, and that starts with the big game. You win the big game, you have that bragging right, if we're 3-8, we're beating an 8-3 team, you know, that's no big deal. But when you have 6-6 versus 8-4 teams, and you're winning the big game season after season, that says more. So, actually, they should be starting any minute now, 5:00 game, and if they beat Arizona, I think their game after that is not as troubling, and That means they probably come to Berkeley creeping in the top 10 towards the top 5. And how big of a win would that be for the Bears? And I really think they can win this game. I've watched this team enough times to know they are not as good as their ranking. Oregon is every bit as good as their ranking, and perhaps more. Stanford, one, they've had a little bit of a weak set of opponents. They've caught some teams at the right times, USC in particular. They've eked out the wins that they've needed to eke out, USC being one of the key example that came to, why I brought it up came to my mind. But I look at them fundamentally and I say, this is a beatable team. Just like last year, I said, okay, yeah, they're looking pretty good. And I must admit, I don't have a lot of confidence. But in the back of my head, I kept saying, I don't look at that team and see somebody the Bears can't beat. I see a team that the Bears can beat. And I feel the same way this year. It's a little harder with Manchin behind center. And that's why it's so important that he develop. But it's not a team I look at and I say the Bears can't beat. And, you know, the national pundits, they don't care. They don't look at it from that deep of a level. They're just going to see number 7 or whatever their number is at that point lost to the Bears. And it'll show something about the Bears. And again, those bragging rights are so important. Recruiting, our coverage in the newspaper, you know, for those kind of fair weather fans, they, you know, follow what's in the newspaper and what's on the news coverage. And if Stanford's the dominant program in the Bay Area, we're not going to see as much of that coverage. It's all going to be Stanford, Stanford, Stanford. We get fairly balanced coverage right now, even though they're in the top 10, because, well, one, you know, we've got this history of beating them, or of winning, but also because we play equitably with them. We beat them last year. We beat them the year before that. We're on a 2-year win streak right now. A 3-year win streak even better. And that, I mean, these, my point of all of this is, it affects so many things in the Bay Area. It is not just about bragging rights in the, you know, most academic sense of the word. It means something on the ground. And you can see it when Stanford fans talk about Cal. They love to, you know, put us down and all that because they got the big hot team right now. But you know, and you can tell when you bring it up, like, oh, crud, you know, they got the big win. They got the big game. I can't be too aggressive. We're going to beat you this year is all they've got. And we know from when we were the better team, like in the early 90s, and we're losing those games. Or those couple of years where we both really stunk in the late 90s and they were still winning the game. These things mattered. You couldn't hold your head high in certain venues and certain forms. So I cannot overstate how important the big game is. And I think Bear fans have gotten a little bit too complacent about it and don't realize that it's not just another win. It's a big deal. And then, of course, I mean, the best thing about that win, right, is you don't have to beat Washington. That doesn't become a must win. And we should be looking today to see, well, this week they'll lose to Oregon, but we should be watching with bated breath to see if they can beat UCLA next week. Because if they lose that one, I think we'll be in a lot better situation, because they'll have no shot at bowl eligibility. But they're going to be hungry if they come to Berkeley with 4 wins. I think it's okay for that to be a must-win game. I think the Bears can win it. I think particularly with Manchin comes a little bit further. But it's all the much nicer if you win the game before that's not a must-win game that has huge bragging right implications. And then it makes it so you're looking at 7-5 as opposed to 6-6. You know, all good things. So, but I think the key takeaway, just to kind of wrap things up, is wins matter, and today they won. They got that road win. You know, we are a game or two behind where I would have liked us to be at that point. Or at this point, we are now 5-4 and 3-3 in conference. At this juncture, I was hoping we'd have 2 more wins, undefeated in non-conference play, and then have beaten either Oregon State or USC. And then I was a lot more optimistic in the beginning of the season about our chance against Oregon. I did not think they were going to be nearly as good. Thomas has been incredibly good, incredibly strong for them at quarterback, and completely changed that team from a team that went into the season where you knew the quarterback had to be good to play, and they had a brand new one. So had a very different perspective on that game, point being. So I was hoping we'd be 2 wins ahead of where we are right now, as opposed to 3-3 in conference, maybe 4-2, and opposed to 5-4 overall, to be 7-3. But we are where we're at, and I think this team took the first step today, the first step to being, to taking it to the first step to getting the win that they need to get to 6-6. And you do that by winning. You do that by building up a little bit of confidence. You do that by getting your new quarterback some experience. And all of those things happen today. So the psychological aspect of next week is very important. We need to be in a situation that if it's a blowout loss, the team isn't demoralized. That's the one key piece. So it needs to be seen as a freebie, as a free opportunity, not as a must win. They want it to be a game where a loss, they can still hold their head high. So they just need to come out and play really, really hard. And gosh, wouldn't it be a lovely miracle to win that one. But they took the first step for the rest. They got the experience. They got the win. They were on track. You know, I mean, even before the Arizona State game, take us all the way back to the USC loss, right? People started doing the mental math in their heads of what that meant. And they looked at it and they said, this team goes to a bowl game if they beat Arizona State, Washington State, and Washington. And we all knew that Oregon State was going to be a really tough game, that was going to be very hard to win. Sure, it got uglier than we thought, but let's just talk about wins and losses. And then Oregon was looking so good, we knew that was going to be very tough. And the big game was kind of a bonus opportunity. So even ever since, yeah, there's been the psychological factors and all of that, but ever since that USC loss, we have been on track with what we need to do. We've won the games we needed to win to get to 6-6. And I know that's a big expectation pullback from where we have been even at the beginning of the season, but even more so from years in the past where getting to bowl eligibility was not a big piece of the puzzle. You know, it was about how dominant we were in the postseason picture. And, you know, hopefully all the way to the top to that Rose Bowl. So I know it's harder to have more of a mindset that is like the old Cal Bears. I mean, that's what it was like in the good years in the old days. You had the bad years where you thought, well, they're showing some progress. You know, maybe next year we could get bowl eligible. And you'd start counting up the wins next year. You say, okay, we could win this one. This one's at home. That's a good – we always do well against UCLA, blah, 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 blah. And you'd put it all together, and you'd find your 6 wins. And so I know how big of a backtrack it is to be thinking like that. But – that's where we are this year, so let's not overshoot. Let's just say, no, we are on track. After that USC game, we won the ASU game we were supposed to win. We didn't win at Oregon State, but that was expected, and it was not needed to keep on track. We went to Washington State, and we won. And now we need to win the one more against Washington to be on track, and the big game is the bonus game. And so I think we just need to be joyous that we're on track, that, yeah, we maybe had a little bit more hopes for this year, but sometimes you have to do a little bit of expectation resetting and go with the positives that you had, particularly when you lose your quarterback. So let's just stick with that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm trying to find too many ways to say the same thing, but this was a win, an important win, and I saw the pieces in place to finish off the game, the season-long game plan to get us to bowl eligibility. And keeping that streak alive, it is the longest streak in the Pac-10. No team has been to more consecutive bowl games than the Bears if the Bears go this year, because USC doesn't get to go this year. So it will be the longest streak. That's not insignificant. That's something that Tedford can take to recruits, and it, again, means something. So it's an important goal, and let's not overlook that factor. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the podcast. I am sure Jason and I will have a midweek podcast to preview next week's game as well as do our mutual wrap-up of this game. But until then, thank you for listening, and go Bears. On the road again.